Heaven? Heaven can wait? So said several people during the lifetime of the Bible, historians, and during modern life. The people of Noah's day said, oh, heaven can wait. But the fire came and took them away. Heaven can wait, said the people of Noah's day. But the flood came and covered them in the midst of their sin. Heaven can wait, said the rich man. My barns are filled, and I have much good for many days, and that night he died. And then whose were these things that he'd worked so hard to attain? All we're on earth for is to decide once and for all where we're going to spend eternity. No question can possibly be so vitally important as that. Life, at best, is very brief, like the falling of a leaf or the binding of a sheaf. It is therefore very important that we decide once and for all that we will live for Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die that men might be redeemed. Listening today, the falling back of Poland by the radio commentators whose voices came into London, from Berlin, from Paris, from New York, hearing the marching tread of the Red Army as they moved in from Russia, solid walks and phalanxes, watching the people caught in the pinchers, as they themselves described it, fleeing and yet daily trying to resist till the last, reminds me of the ninth chapter. For I have settled on the fifth chapter of Daniel as a theme for heaven can wait, a man's opinion that it can wait. Belshazzar and his people are much like the people of 1939. His grandfather's father, the real godly man, the Nebuchadnezzar, had a definite experience of God beyond question of a doubt. He knew what it was to pray. He knew what it meant to backslide. He knew what it meant to be reinstated with God and the glory of the Lord in his heart. But today, some of us who are younger on the American continent know that our forefathers brought the Bible. We know that they were men of prayer. We know that we like to stir our souls and sing our Father's God to the author of liberty, our Father's God. But what about our God? What about our God? And the Bible that came over in the loaf of bread and the Mayflower won't suffice, what about our Bible? And is it in our heart? Belshazzar had backslidden as the fifth chapter opens. And though he had a very definite warning, a warning that has come to America and has come to the whole world, he did not repent. I believe our good revival would do all of us good, don't you? Say amen out there. You say, sister, are you going to preach about the handwriting on the wall? I am. You know, a little boy went home one day after hearing this chapter, and not at this Sunday school, but another church, and his mother said to him, oh, darling, that's what they talked about at Sunday school day. He said, they talked about Amy Semple McPherson. He had it all wrong. It was many people, you fashion. But he just had the name all mixed up in his little boy's mind, so much so that it got in the newspapers. But with a smiling aside tonight, God is still speaking to the world. Let us see if we can cause a story to rise before our minds. The enemy is at the gate. The Medes and Persians are already like rodents creeping in through the country. We would like to say America is 100% for America, and yet we know that right in our country we have people who are absolutely un-American. Lord, help us to live a godly, Christian, Bible-influenced life. Amen? So there's no room to anyone except those who love our God, the God in whom we trust. You see, they like the other way of living, let them go back to their own country and live that way. But over here, give us our God and give us our Bible. It is a prayer of our hearts. The gong sounds. It is time for the great feast of Belshazzar. God has called him to fast. But instead of fasting, Belshazzar resorts to feasting. He knows that the enemy is at his gate. But he said, look for the enemy. My army and my navy and my air force and my boat I'll overwhelm them by showing them my power. Beloved, this is once when Belshazzar needed God. He needed prayer and he needed to know that he was in a place where God was with him. It isn't so much a case of how strong or weak we are. We need to be right with God. Someone once said to Abraham Lincoln, well, I hope God's on our side. He said, I'm not so much concerned about that, but I'm concerned whether or not I'm on God's side. Lord, help us to be on God's side. And so Belshazzar the king said, we will set a great feast, not a great fast. Instead of putting on sackcloth and ashes, let's feast. Come, slaves, set the gong, open the gates, and bid my visitors assemble. And so, the gay caroling began. Happily, we read that the king entertained and drank wine before 1,000 of his lords, and his warlords, and his admirals, and his chiefs, and his concubines, and his maidens. Come! Come to the feast! Come! Come! And great importance of the occasion. I see them gathering now. Here they come. One of the earliest to reach the scene is called merrymaking. And how strange it has been to listen to the radio, to hear the great crisis of a world, and then turn in immediately and go, well, let's forget that. Let's have a little jitterbug music. Let's have a little bit of frivolity. Why, we're the very same. As they were back there, they danced a little differently. And here is merrymaking. He says, let's have a good time. Let's forget that the enemy is at the gate. Come. I have come to welcome you, royal. And my princess stands at the gate. And next comes Richard. And takes a bow. He is followed closely by Penelope. Ah, these are the things of this world. Ah, the pleasant things. I have no thought for eternity. Drunkenness, of course, offends among the thousands of the lords. Evolution and unbelief is invited to come right in. War comes to the front and takes a bow that the doors of Belshazzar are open. Avarice is among the guests. Here also comes Vice and his cousin, Impiety. He doesn't know piousness at all. Profanity is one of the guests. Frivolity, indeed, follows closely upon his heels. Jollity, guaranteed to be the life of every party. It's absolutely have the people in the aisles rolling in laughter. Oh, we must have jollity. What does it matter if the enemy's at the gate and civilization is tottering on the brink of chaos? What does it matter? Forget it. Strike up the band. Music, maestro, please. Jollity is followed by pride and position, one by one, and the concubines and the beautiful of the women come to gather and welcome them there. Hey, I'll show the Medes and Persians and old Cyrus he thinks that he can overtake my country. I have no need of prayer. Ask me to feast. I'll slap God right back with my answer, feast. Not fast. Feast. not fast, and so began the joy. And now, they're only to wait for the king. But remember, they're waiting in false security. Because, you know, we'll never be forced to surrender. Why, the king would never offer to drink wine in our presence unless he was sure that all was well. All right, drink, eat, be merry, let joy be unconfined. And soon, he just got pour forth the wine. Oh, he just this wonderful wine, this lovely wine. Ah, the sweetest of the countryside. And let us be drunken. Let us be merry. Let the rest of the world worry with their cares. But we of Babylon, we shall glory in the vine. Suddenly a thought occurs to the king. This is why, after having tasted this wine, I realize that we should have better cups to drink it in. Well, strike the gong, please. And send my servants to the temple. We've defied God. Now let's defy and desecrate God's temple. Bring in the gold and the silver vessels that were used upon the table of the Lord when they served the holy rite, where the high priest would show forth the love of God. Bring in the gold and the silver vessels from the temple of the Lord, and we'll drink wine. And this they did. Desecrating God's house, denying God's power, declaring that he no longer lives, heaven can wait. Why, it would be impossible for Cyrus to be digging in underneath. Better, you don't have to hear an airplane overhead or see a hand grenade burst. The enemy has flyer ways of digging under a nation the map. He can begin with your school children after school hours. He can begin by pamphleteering. He can begin by talks to lead them away from God and away from Christ and away from the Bible and away from the things that we know are the only rock ages that will stand. Ah, the king said, merriment! Sing forth the girls of my court, and let them sing and be glad and joyful before me. And the king said, see, this is the way we dance in our day. Well, you know, America, 1939 version, is a little bit different in dancing. It's gotten way past the jitterbug. Where is it now? It's today's eat or something? That's the way up the road, I know. But laughing in the face of hell. Laughing in the face of God. Laughing in the face of God's direct warning. Daniel is entirely forgotten by this great king who now makes up peace and says, drink up, my lads. Drink up, ladies. Drink up, courses, and be welcome. When suddenly a strange thing happens. A strange sound, first by trickling water, and then a portion of a man's hand. The hour struck 12. Some strange fear gripped Wall Street. It gripped all the hearts of a nation. It gripped the stock exchange of a London and a Paris. In the Berlin, it's gripped by heartstrings and all. What is this all? And suddenly, down, everyone, look! A portion of a hand is and do you see it? The portion of the hand begins to write. And as it writes, oh! Well, there's my God! My God, I'm lost! Why? Belshazzar, you can't read the writing. It's not your lines. No, it is as I see the hand that writes it. If such fear filled his heart when he only saw a portion of a hand, What would the nations fear if they saw God's whole arm laid there? And what more if they saw God himself revealed? Friends, I tell you, heaven cannot wait. The eternal and important issue is our soul salvation. The hand of legend, meaning, people, you person. What does it mean? Now, these men and women at the feast, who have been his partners in jollity, are now his partners in fear. He had a friend of God, who old God had affrighted him. What does it mean? Oh, King Belshazzar, what does it mean? Here's some strange reactions. We read that the king's countenance has changed. His color came and went. His knees and hip joints were dislocated because of the greatness of his fear. Physicians would tell us that's accompanied by great pain of the spine. His color ebbed and flowed due to the die of shock. Why? If you don't know what it means, O King, how do you know that he doesn't say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year? Well, he's afraid, boy. He can't read it. Ah, therein is a sinner condemned. Thine own sins have condemned thee already. He knew that if this were the finger of God, it could right no good of him. He knew himself, knew what God must say. And so he fell. Finally, it seems that I have an idea. I'll tell you, let's send for the grain daddy, the wild man. Quickly. Call for the Chaldeans. Call for the astrologers. The government is four big stars near the moon right now. What are they? Mars? Saturn? Venus? Jupiter? Call for the astrologers. Quickly for the soothsayers and the diplomats, my ambassadors, and the three wise men. The king said, oh, men, if you ever wanted anything in your life, now is your chance. I'll make you rich. I'll clothe you in robes of scarlet with chains and heavy gold if you could do one thing. Now look first, wise men. Do you see that writing? Oh, yes, the king receives, we are of a symbol. Can you understand it, wise men? No. All right, astrologer. You spent years studying the stars and casting everybody's horoscope and telling them all their history, past and present. Can you tell me what that means? What nation tonight can foresee what's going to happen tomorrow? Is Turkey or is she not going to line up with Russia? In an ironclad agreement. Is Germany or England or our neighbor country, Canada, plunged in a long war? Is it just I don't know the answer? And I hope to God it's not so. Then I would say to you, God's finger is writing on the wall of the world today. Every prophecy ever made here of wars and rumors of wars before the coming of the Lord. But the wise men say, we cannot read it. Diplomats with all the leagues of nations and all the scraps of paper. And they say, oh, just give me this and I won't ask for anything more for a long while, for a whole lifetime. And you give the devil a little bit and he'll grab that up and he'll ask for more of your heart and of your life. And I say, friends, now is the time to make a stand for God. We can never fight the enemy by feasting. It must be by fasting. These wise men were doubtless honorable, the followers of their own best beliefs. They praised the gods of wood and stone and silver. But when you got them over into sacred things, they were out of their sphere. Friends, if you take people out of their own sphere, they're into a world altogether different. And the wise men and the diplomats and the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, are helpless. Friends, do you know the God is writing on the wall? America, do you believe God is calling the people of today for a great revival? A national calling upon God. Say amen. And I say back to the family altar. Back to the old Bible. And back to prayer. Finally, she's a beautiful figure coming in about an aged lady. Queen Mother. Coming forward says, listen, my dear, I've just come from my own room to tell you that even though you've forgotten God, there's a man in the country that hasn't forgotten God. Senator Daniel, it can do no harm. The things are all right, and thank you for coming. You didn't bring this to my attention. Come! Have Daniel brought. Bring Daniel! Oh, friends, can the world forget? God never forgets. And when the world cannot understand, then sometimes we go to church and send the preacher. Call quickly, and as quickly in is Doc Daniel, who is a living, a quiet, retired life. You know, King, what is your pleasure? Woo! It's a Daniel! I understand that you know God. They tell me you know how to pray. If you do, you're the only one that I can remember how to pray. They tell me you can read whatever God writes. But we've forgotten, we've lost the art. Tell us, and we'll give you robes of beautiful purple and of red, and we'll give you chains of gold. Daniel says, you're gifted yourself or to another. You're in a fine position to offer me gifts, and your whole kingdom is being taken underneath you. You don't even know the top blade. He's being hacked to blow off like a bomb right underneath you. And he said, then please, show him the robes. Show him the wonderful things I have for him. For all these treasures are yours. Keep them. Well, then, please, read this. Can you read this? Can you read this? He said, yes, I can read it. And suddenly, Daniel's voice reached out. Meanie, Pico, you Barson. The words. It's strange in their simplicity. Meanie, numbered. Oh, how strangely God has allowed different men to live lives in their days and their empires and pile up their pyramids. Numbered! And then the whole drop of the Napoleonic power, jarring his guitar, whatever it is full, God just nips it off at the top and lets it fall. Numbered. And the next word, Pico, weighed, carries into the meaning of your true life. Because God was very impersonal. It really means Pico, you first. It really means exactly what it says. Numbered, weighed, broken. And the broken is a kind of a word with the elasticity of their language of putting a clay picture of wine in front of an oncoming racing locomotive that shattered into 1,000 bits. God, who has been so kind for years, leaves no time now to repent. Had Belshazzar fallen upon his knees, and all his people were too late. They were lost. The sword went into the hilt and came out red with blood. He said, your time is past. And all the people, in their fear and agony, having delivered his message, Daniel went from the king. And a strange earthquake, a strange darkness, and up from the sea, and up from their rough nest that they had built, came the Medes and the Persians and the people of Syria. And there was a blackout. Complete blackout. Hope gone. The light gone. Multitudes struggling to and they challenge the word of God. They shall grope for the wall of men to grope at mid-noon and find no light. Blackout. The lights are low. Faith is gone. God even laughed at once too often. His years are meted out and numbered. Heaven can wait. In that very night was Belshazzar's plain with a sword and all of his kingdom conquered. Now, heaven cannot wait. Jesus, as a nation we come, and we rise up, and we say, Lord, fill us with your glory, and let us know thee, whom the Lord likes, is life eternal, and you must be born again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Shall we all bow our heads?